Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is truly the instruction of our life. It's the answer to all our questions. It's the solving of all our problems. It's the manual on how to work our lives and how to fix our lives. You are our all in our everything, God, and we surrender to you, asking you to be a part of our lives, not just somebody we know, but somebody who we live for. Please, God, be with us. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Two verses we're going to cover today. Two very controversial verses. Two verses that nobody who's going through it likes. Chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, verse 18 and 19. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. It's that simple. Now, I would like to break down every single word. I'd like to explain to you exactly how marriage should be. I would like to say, ladies, you heard that. According to God, you submit underneath your husband. Men, you love your wives and don't get mad at them for being a woman. But I've got something better. I'm going to assume that most of you all are where I am. After 30 years of marriage, you have not figured a darn thing out. You don't know how to make it, how you're going to make it. You're at best eking by. At worst, every other week or every other month, you think it's over. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? Today, let's look at how to fix your marriage. If you're single, what to look for? From a political perspective, I am a rare Christian pastor. I do not care one bit about gay marriage. It means this much to me, less than this much. It's a sign of the times that came and gone long time ago. The only thing I care about, as long as they don't make me perform a gay marriage, and then we get to live in peace. But if the world wants to marry according to their system, two men, two women, a guy to his truck and his dog, my pastor used to always say, don't ever be surprised when the world acts like the world. It's not my job to judge what goes on in the world according to the scriptures. It's my job to judge what goes on in the church. Judgment begins in the house of God. God judges the world, the Bible says. Amen to that? However, being the judge of marriage in the church, I will explain to you what it is intended to be and how it is intended to be. Number one, let's look at these verses. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Let me explain to you the best way that I can what that means. In jiu-jitsu, my sport of choice for the last almost 15, 16 years, there is a principle of submitting somebody. You get them in a chokehold, you get them in a strangulation, you get them in an armbar, you get them in some kind of lock, and before the pain begins terribly, you submit. Oh man, you got me. However, the truest form of jiu-jitsu is understanding as a higher belt, your job is to train up those of a lower belt. Starting as a white belt, you get a four-stripe white belt and he starts with the other white belts. When you see a blue belt beating up a white belt or you see a purple belt beating up a blue belt, the first thing you think in your head when you see them is they have no understanding of jiu-jitsu. Zero. The idea is to let the younger ones learn and grow. And sometimes, yeah, you let them submit you. Oh man, that was good. Because the emotional encouragement, the mental aspect of jiu-jitsu Believe me, anybody who's done jiu-jitsu for any length of time will tell you, far outweighs the physical. As a matter of fact, be honest. If you've watched any of the Alone series, you'll see the mental aspect of life far outweighs strength-wise anything in the physical. If you believe in it, if you believe you can accomplish it, if you believe you can do it, you can. You won't believe what you can get through. There's three sports in this world that are probably the hardest three sports. Number one hardest sport in the world is wrestling. There is nothing more grinding, more difficult. There is nothing that will break your body down. There's nothing that will break your mental down harder than wrestling. When two bodies are pushing against each other, trying as hard as they can to outwill each other, when the physical ends, the guy that's mentally strong will survive. They call it embracing the grind. And when you first start doing wrestling, you're like, oh my goodness, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. No way. Physically, you don't know what you can go through until you go through it. What is that old Disney movie? There's a line in that Disney movie, you'd be surprised what you can live through. It's true. We knew this kid from the gym. His name was Gabriel. His name was Gabriel, but that wasn't his real name. His real name was Bogdan Cristia. He was from Romania. Bogdan Cristia, remember? They called him Gabriel. I have no idea where the name Gabriel came from, except the fact that it was an angel. Gabriel is mentally the strongest human being I've ever been around. And when you find out how he grew up in Romania, in a communist country, with zero hope. One time, if you looked at him, he had this gigantic scar on his arm and across his back. And Bogdan was an interesting character. He was stoic, stone-faced. You remember Gabriel, right, Bob? He wouldn't talk, but when he was cutting weight for a fight, if you don't know what cutting weight for a fight is, and if you're asking yourself what this has to do with marriage, you'll find out in a minute. Please stay with me. He got emotional when the water drained from his body and he was 30 pounds off weight 2 days out, and literally hours before weighing he was 7 or 8 pounds out and he was just sweating out. His mind would start to break down and he would get emotional. He'd lay his head on your shoulder and he'd talk, he'd say, I really appreciate you've done for me. You're a good friend. And I'd say, Gabriel, could I ask you where that scar came from? Oh, when I was 19, I was hit by a truck. I was left for dead, and I crawled 10 miles to closest town, and they find me. And they do not believe I'm going to live, so they leave me in hospital to die. But I would not die. I refuse to die. And that's just one of dozens of stories this guy had. Dozens. And then you think, well, how could a guy get in a cage for 5 rounds, 5 minutes a round, and start to beat each other up? You know what that was to him? Rest area. And you see the strongest men right now that are fighting in the UFC, these Dagestanis, these Brazilians, some of these. These guys are superhuman because mentally, they might not physically be, they might not have what we have in the physical. They don't have the nutrition. They don't have the supplements. They don't have the training. But mentally, they are so tough. Now, why did I use that? Why did I belabor that? Ladies, Pastor Bob used to always say, and I loved it, he used to say, ladies, you are not lesser in importance. You are different in performance. To submit to your husband, it's not to admit that you're lesser. To the contrary, it's to admit that you're greater and you have the ability to let him lead even when he's too stupid to lead. Listen, I'll be the first to amen that. First 15 plus years of my marriage, stupid blonde girl, just shut up. I'll do the trophy wife. You know what I learned? My wife's a genius. Smarter than I ever imagined. Talented beyond anything I could. Do you know how long it took me to figure that out? So much to the fact that I would actually have to take a second seat and then realize, wait, I'm called to lead. Because it's like a weird thing when you realize the talents and gifts of your woman, you're like, well, you just do it then. And then you're like, what, that's not, your calling isn't to submit, it's her calling to submit. Yeah, but I, there's no way I am where I am without that woman. No way. And make no mistake about it, I'm giving her credit now, and she's not back there filled with pride and going, that's my man. She's not. She's like, oh, you say that now, but the journey wasn't so fun, was it? How many times did you call me an idiot? How many times did you think I was stupid? How many times did you make me believe that I was wrong when I was right? How many times did you embarrass me in front of everybody? And now to sit here and say, oh, yeah, she's the... What I say to you guys, you might laugh and, oh, good man. No. Going through it, she went through it. Still does. What I don't like about marriage counseling and marriage counselors, what I don't like about Bible teachings is the nuances they continually leave out. Whenever I sit down with a couple and discuss marriage, they all say the same thing, but you don't understand. But it's different. When you read about, and they give you this scenario, here's what you should do, and here's what you should do, like, right, because it works that easy. There's a movie called Tootsie from the 80s. Anybody remember Tootsie? There's a scene in Tootsie where Dustin Hoffman is playing a woman. He actually plays a woman, a man dressed up as a woman. And there's this woman, Jessica Lange. And he's like, really, oh man, he digs her so much, but now he's supposed to be making believe he's this woman. And they're having this girl talk. And she says to him, Jessica Lange says to Dustin Hoffman, you know, I'm so tired of all these games. If a man would just walk up to me and say, listen, I could come up to you with a line, give you all kinds of stories, but the truth of the matter is, I think you're just gorgeous. And I'd really love for us to get together. You know what I mean? I don't want to keep it G-rated. Oh, and he's looking at her, and you can tell the look on his face, yeah, that would be great. Well, later on, he's not dressed up as a woman, and they happen to be at the same party, and now he's a man. And he walks up to her, and he's got a drink in his hand, and he goes, you know, I could give you a whole line, could tell you all kinds of nonsense, but the truth of the matter is, I just think you're gorgeous, and I'd love to get together with you. Again, keeping it G-rated. And she pauses, she looks at him, and she goes, and she throws her drink in his face. And he just... And to me, that's the perfect example. Women have this ability to tell you what they think they want to hear until they hear it, then they didn't want to hear it at all. And the game that we have, or should I say the game we are forced to play, is trying to figure out who we woke up with that morning. Reminds me of there's a cartoon called Bugs Bunny. And in one of the Bugs Bunnies, there was a character named Pete Puma. Remember Pete Puma? Yeah, right, that's one. Well, there's one point where he does something because Bugs Bunny's dressed up like a girl. Yes, Bugs Bunny dressed up. And he does something, and he smacks her, Pete Puma's hand, and Pete Puma looks at him and he says, well, you told me to. And that's my life. But you told me to. Don't tell me your problems if you don't want to fix them. I fix things. That's what I do. I eradicate problems. I don't want you to eradicate problems. I just want you to listen. Then why are you, what? There's an excellent video, which I highly recommend, on YouTube. It's called Not About the Nail. As a matter of fact, Drew, if you could pull that up during the teaching, I would love to show that on YouTube.
You're being serious?
I'm being serious. Not About the Nail. Now, I'm making this point, and it's a point I'm making of what's called the point of futility. Because when I explain this to you now, and I explain to you from the men's perspective how frustrating it is to deal with a woman, I will just assume, with an amen from you ladies, it is equal dealing with us. No, it's not? Cool. No, you said nothing, so I'm going to assume that. So what's the point, Ryan? What are you trying to say? Here's how marriage is done according to the Bible. You can leave here. We don't necessarily have to come back. Turn, if you would, with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. That's a bunch of pages to the right. 1 Peter chapter 3. Picking up in verse 7. Before we read, I will explain it to you this way. If you are having marriage problems, if you're not having marriage problems, if you're thinking about being married, if you want God to bless your relationship, if you're trying to rebuild your marriage, there are four ways to do it. And every single couple that I've ever met with for marriage counseling or premarital instruction, I have given this task. I have been offered this commitment by every single couple, and I will suggest that maybe 10% of them do it. And the 10% that do it survive. And every other one of them that doesn't do it does not survive. However, if you are here and you have one of those marriages where these things that I tell you today, you don't do and you can survive, as we say in Italian, a tata salute. A tata salute. Good for you. I can't. My marriage will not survive. It don't matter if I have 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. If I don't do these four things that I'm telling you now, I won't make it. Now, I will tell you this, and I will guarantee you this. You are not getting the most that God has planned for your marriage if you are not doing these things. From a physical perspective, these are the easiest things in the world to do. I couldn't, if I told you to climb Mount Everest to save your marriage, you would do it. If I tell you to do these things, pshaw, easy, you might say. But you won't be able to, because all hell is going to come against you. And everything in your flesh will tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. So, step one, chapter 3, the book of 1 Peter, verse 7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, ready? That your prayers may not be hindered. Number one, pray with your wife every single day. Not once a week, not just at meals. You should have a time set apart every single day, whether it's when you leave the house, whether it's before you go to bed, whatever it is, you should be able to reach over, grab your wife's hand and say, Father, bless our relationship. take out of the way the things that hinder this and hinder everything good in our lives. Something to that effect, where you just ask God, you both are able to humble yourself. Now watch this. Wives, you don't have to pray. But you know what it is your responsibility to do? To make the environment of prayer. Because if you are constantly telling your husband what a loser and a failure he is, believe me when I tell you, he ain't going to want to pray with you. I don't care how easy it is. Now, physically speaking, believe me when I tell you, you spend more time in the toilet watching a video, certainly watching TV. Easiest thing in the world to do. Baby, let's pray. Why should I do that? Because that's what a marriage is. I just read it to you. Don't let your prayers be hindered. Nothing should hinder your prayer. The first thing on the list of things to do for a husband and a wife, if you want a relationship in Christ, again, caveat, if you want a relationship in Christ. If you don't, guys, just go up to the stinking Justice of the Peace, whatever they call it these days, the courthouse. Go get married. It's legit. It's legal. Fine. Done. Go. But if you want me to be a part of it, if you want God to bless it, if it's more important for you to be married in the eyes of God than in the eyes of the government, then this is what I'm going to tell you to do. And anybody that doesn't tell you to do this, let me tell you something. They're hurting you. They're selling you short because of this very reason. Ladies, if your man doesn't pray without you, believe me, he ain't going to pray with you. And if you want a man who's going to take care of you, he best be a praying man. Amen to that, ladies? Amen. Now, some of you guys right now are like convicted. You're like, man, I'm married and I don't pray with my wife. Listen, I'm in the club. It ain't an easy thing. And why do I wait till things fall apart in my marriage before I get back to those things? It's because I'm stupid and I'm weak. You're not alone. And I'm giving you the secret. If you're having marriage problems, this is the secret. You build your marriage upon the foundation. Build your life. If you will do these things, building your house, the Lord Jesus said, upon the rock, then your house will greatly stand and not greatly fall, right? Did you pull that video up? Now, before we get to the next one, let's watch this quick video of everybody's relationship. You know this one? You guys seen this one? Isn't it hilarious? Dudes, guys, prepare yourself.
You know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
Yeah, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out... See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't...
try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on?
Number two on the list of things that you won't do until things are completely falling apart, turn please to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. That's a few pages to the left, right before the current book we're studying. Ephesians chapter 5, picking it up in the 22nd verse, I believe. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might, you ready? Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Please give me your attention. Number one, if you're not praying with your spouse every day, you're selling yourself short. Again, in case I didn't make it clear, it is incumbent upon the husband to do the praying. If the wife wants to pray, fantastic, all the better. She's not going to get to heaven and hear, did you pray with your wife? Or should I say, why didn't you pray with your husband? The man's going to hear that because that's what the Bible says. Leader, man, leader. Doesn't matter if she follows, leader. Number two, to wash your wife in the water of the word. Now, what I'm doing up here right now is called being a pastor. What you need to be doing at home is called being a priest. You know what a priest does? He just sets everything up. He's not a teacher. Let me tell you, the worst fights I ever got into with my, that's not true, not the worst, but most of the fights, no, let me reword this. We got into a whole lot of fights when it came time to reading the Bible and praying. She thinks she knows what the Lord was about. I think I know what the Lord. Oh, no, he was a gentle. They were not gentle about that man. That man walked through a crowd of people. That man flipped over tables. Oh, he was so kind. Look how he was with kids. Like, no. You don't know nothing about the Lord. I don't, do I? So if you've tried to do some spiritual things in your house and gotten into fights with your spouse, it ain't you. It's everybody. One of the things that I do during marriage counseling, and this is very interesting, and this is kind of on a side note, I try to stay away from the psychobabble. I've done a lot of studying on it, and I could be psychobabble-ish, but I try to stay away from it. Here's what I try to do. I have this circle. On my desk, there's a circle. And I put my hand in the middle of the circle, and I go, let's stick to normal. And I'll tell you why I do that. Because I have some couples, more than a few, who she was a crackhead, he was a heroin addict, he came out of prison, she came out as a prostitute. I mean, and I try to explain to them, guys, you're fighting because she didn't make dinner three times last week. That falls under the category of normal. What was abnormal was having to pick her up from a crack house. What was abnormal was finding pornography on his phone. Or, you guys understand what I'm saying? And trying to explain to people, no, listen to me. These are good fights. Normal fights. We all fight about that. We all fight about because we didn't have intimate relations six times last week, or fill in the blank of what falls in the line of normal. And most people don't realize it's normal. And I have to sit here and I laugh sometimes. I go, I'm sorry. 3 years ago, we were fighting because she was dancing in a club and you didn't want her dancing in the club anymore. Now we're fighting because, why? She doesn't understand you? I mean, like, that's normal, bro. Normal. So let's not make what's normal abnormal, but just to the contrary of that, please understand, we have to address the abnormalities when it goes outside of that box of normal. If you're finding numbers on his cell phone and it's Joey, but it's Josephine, you're gonna have to address that. If you guys aren't sleeping in the same bed and you haven't slept in the same bed for months and there's no intimacy, we're gonna have to deal with that. That's no good. That's no good. You follow me? Let's deal with that. Number one, prayer. Number two, remember what I said? You have to be a priest. You wash her in the water of the word. You're not her pastor. I'm her pastor. I'm your pastor. You got questions about the Bible? If you guys can't discuss it without getting into a big blowout, ask me together. We'll talk about it. However, what you do is you open up the Bible. My suggestion, start in Psalms and just read her. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is he. And you just read the Bible to her. Maybe say a prayer before. Maybe say a prayer after. And then you close it. And then with fear and trembling, what'd you think of that? And be prepared, gentlemen, to shake your head and go, you got that out of that? That's great, honey. So did I. You know why? It's not about the nail. I had so many ways. When I saw that video for the first time, probably 10 years ago, it was really a comfort to me. Because I would always say to my wife, I'd be like, and I thought I was so smart, right? I'm like, listen, lady, you cannot shoot yourself in the foot and then ask yourself, why am I limping? I thought, oh, I'm so smart. I came up with such a great analogy there. Then to find out when I watched the video, I was like, it's not just me. Like, every dude goes through this with his woman. So that leaves one thing, at least one of two things. First thing is either they're all out of their freaking minds, or we don't understand them at all. And we just think we do. And we think we're so smart and they're so dumb. But maybe we're the dumb ones. Because we just read something else in there. Dwell with them with understanding. Let's not gloss over that. That's why marriage counseling is so difficult. And what I'm giving you today works. Because note, this in a machine, this is what's called a cog. When the cogs fit together perfectly, and the machine works because everything falls into place. Ain't no relationship work like that. Not one. In 20 plus years of marriage counseling, do you know how many times I've been in that office and said to myself, that dude's got a great wife, man. I wish my wife was more like his. This many. 99.99% out of the time, I walk out of that and go, whew, glad he's with him, not me. Wow. And if you looked at my life, you'd say the same thing. Because it's just not clean. It's all messy. It's all out of shape. And we got to get that shape in place. Okay, there's our relationship. How do you make it work? God makes it work. Even when the sprockets don't fit together and, oh, man, I get it now. I get it. And I can't sit here and try, well, here's what you should do. If you just listen to the woman more, that's the problem you have. You don't listen to me. I don't care what you do. as long as A, you're not cheating on each other, and B, both you love God, if you will do these four things, your relationship will improve, will be better, will be fixed, will, you name whatever, like, mejor, better is, that's where you will wind up. Number one, pray together. Husband, it's incumbent upon you to do that. Number two, wash her in the water of the word daily. In our house, when we had kids, do you guys remember water time? 9 o'clock was water time. And we would get, I had all different versions of the Bible, and I'd go, and every day I'd be like, oh, let's see, let's tell the King James, the NASB. Oh, we haven't done the Message Bible in a while. And I'd get them, and we put three or four versions of the Bible, and all my kids would get out there. There was, at the time, everybody was living at home, so it was like seven or eight of us there. Okay, what are we doing? Well, Psalm 6? Okay, who wants to do the Message? Okay, oh, I want to do the King James. Okay, and we would just sit there and read. 9 o'clock, probably took 15, 20 minutes tops. Water time, it's water time, the kids are like, oh, I do water time, we'll watch this, it's water time, come on, we're doing water time. Because we couldn't make it otherwise, guys, you understand? Can't make it, I can't. I'm way too fleshly, way too broken. I have no idea what good relationship looks like. I've never been a part of it. I remember watching my wife interact with her parents for the first few times and seeing how they treated Elena, my daughter. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest, and no disrespect to my parents. God rest their soul. And if they're listening, I don't mean no disrespect. I was mad at my parents for a long time because I saw how good Faye and Richard were, not just with my grandchildren, but with us. I was like, why wasn't I raised like that? Why? And we bring our brokenness into the relationships. We bring our hurts. We bring our past. And we ask ourselves, how come? How come? How come you don't? I have a problem. I know I have a few of them. Number three, worship. Don't turn anywhere. Turn everywhere. Every psalm, we just read last week, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Key of everything, God took 150, what do you call it? Letters, songs, psalms, and he said, listen, do this every day. If you don't worship God with your wife every single day, and it's a great precursor to a lot of good things. You don't just take your wife in your arms, put a song on, just on the way here, me and my wife were having a moment. We're doing We Say Yes, Lord. We've been still going through that album, House Fires. Just hold hands in the car while we're driving. We say yes, God, accept the invitation. Just let her hear that you love God. It'll comfort her heart to know you're still listening to God. You're still trying. You guys with me? One, pray with your wife every day. Two, read the Bible together every day. Three, worship God with your wife every day. And four, turn to Hebrews chapter, goodness, I lost it. Hebrews 10, I believe. I could be mistaken on that. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. 10 and where? Does anybody remember? 10:25. Yes. Okay, so pick it up in 23. 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You see the word for day there? You see that it's capitalized? Anybody see that? The reason that D is capitalized is not just any other day, it's that day. The great and coming day of the Lord. The terrible and wonderful day of the Lord. Number one, pray with your wife every single day. Number two, read the Bible with your wife every single day. Number three, worship God with your wife. Don't just listen to some music, but worship. A dance, a whisper in the ear, something that she knows you're still submitting to God. And number four, go to church. Go to church. I've only told a woman to disobey her husband one time in my entire life as a pastor. If your husband tells you, do not go to church, you tell him, I'm sorry, I'm going to church at least once a week. A non-believing husband should be able to tell his believing wife anything and she should obey, with the exception of sin, of course. I don't want you doing this, I don't want you going so much, anything, because you will win him over with obedience and love, according to same 1 Peter 3. But if he tells you not to go to church at all, you tell him, I'm sorry, I will not obey that command. I tell this to kids all the time, and next week we're going to talk about that. The same situation with our kids we're going to talk about next week. If you are a kid here, I so applaud you for being here. Because I realize that from anywhere from 15 to 25, like, who the heck wants to go to church? Are you kidding me? I was out all night last night. It's getting up early in the morning. I'm not really sure if I even believe in this stuff anymore. But the fact that you're here, honoring your parents' wishes, just to say to your family, look, I could take a couple hours out of my day just to honor my parents. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you, children. God will bless you for that. He will bless you for that. Just to be obedient to God. Yeah, I applaud you, kids. Because you ain't gotta. Believe me when I can tell you. I know. At 14, 15, 16, 17, you tell your parents, I ain't going. I ain't going. I ain't going. What are you going to do? You going to make me go? I ain't going. I don't want to go.
I'm going to embarrass you.
You go out. I'll embarrass you the whole time there. But you're here, and I applaud that. And I always tell parents, listen, if the kid's over 16, 17 years old and he's living in your house, what do you ask him to do? Open up a vein and pour it in a glass? You're saying, please, go to church with me. Just take a couple of hours as a family. It's not hard. If you can at very least do that, when I cook, I clean, I pay the electricity, I buy the food, you know what? Pack your crap and get out then. Just go. If life is so terrible in this house, and I ask you to go to church, oh, the horror of it. Like, even this church. I mean, think about it. Does somebody ask you, like, to dress up? I mean, I'm the pastor. Hello? Sorry. You can wear your flip-flops. Don't brush your hair. Look at my son. He hasn't brushed his hair in a year. It's coming on a year. December will be a year. It's a thing. So, see? Physically, easiest thing in the world. Mentally, try it. Watch what happens. Now, for you guys that aren't married here, you're asking yourselves, well, I guess this message was for somebody else. No, listen, this will work if you're just dating. Yes, you can do this while you're just dating, if you want to call it dating or courting. Or even trying to figure out if they're the right one. You single people here, you single sisters here, especially. If you're thinking about a particular man, and he's not a praying man, he's not a Bible reading man, he's not a worshiping man, he's not a church going man, and you think he's the man for you, I'll be here when you need me, because you're going to need me. Brothers, got your eyes on a particular honey? Did I say something funny there? My daughter used to tell me all the pickup lines. What was that? You know, I was reading a book of Numbers this morning, and it reminded me, I don't have yours. What other Christian pickup lines were there, Arlie? That was the one. There's a lot of them she used to tell me. I just put her on the spot. So, again, we started. Wives, submit. Remember the idea of submit? Isn't that you're a lesser? As a matter of fact, in jujitsu and in the cross, the lesser was submitted to by the greater. Christ submitted himself unto his own creation. You, wives, have a better opportunity to be like Christ than a man ever does because you're smarter. You're more attuned. You're more perceptive. Most of you are more spiritual. And yet you have the opportunity to take one step back and go, lead. And now, lastly, husbands, love your wife and don't be embittered toward them. Husband, love your wives and don't be embittered toward them. If you are one of those husbands like me, and sometimes you just wake up, and it doesn't matter what she says, you just... I wait for my wife on Sunday mornings. I get ready, it takes me 5 minutes. It takes her a little bit, just a tad longer. And I say, do you want to go with us? We're going to go eat with Austin and Elena in Ireland at First Watch. Yeah, I want to go, okay. So we get ready. And about 9 o'clock, we're leaving now, baby, we're leaving. You know, I think I'm going to take my car. You waited till I was walking out the door to tell me you're going to take your car. Now, I wake up in the morning, I spend my time in my Bible, I take my shower, sometimes I train, I get ready, I give my wife a giant kiss, and I go, okay, I'm going to work. And she says, well, I want to talk to you about something. I'm walking out the door, and now you want to have a conversation. I've been home this whole time, you had nothing to say. Now you want to talk. Or one of my favorites. I want to go out to eat tonight. Okay, baby, where you want to go? I don't care, wherever you want to go. Pizza time? No, I don't want to go there. Honey, where you want to eat? I don't care, you pick. Little Havana. Casa Tequila. No. Baby, do you want to go out to eat tonight? Yeah. Where would you like to eat? I don't care. Just pick a place. Four Rivers. Yeah, that sounds good. Good choice, honey. Then 2 days later. Baby, you want to go out to eat tonight? Yeah, but I'm choosing this time. You chose last time. Now, I'm saying it because it's funny, but honestly now, honestly, it ain't funny when it's happening. It's really annoying. It really, really frustrates me. As a person who likes to make decisions, as a person who looks at things and says, I am a pragmatist, I'm extremely pragmatic, throw it at me, I'll put it in a place where it belongs and worry about it later. My wife is a planner. She wants to look at it. Can we paint part of it and look at it? Can we see what it... Now, why am I joking around when I say this? Why am I showing you this? Because the Bible said, love her and don't be embittered toward her. Cut it out. Stop thinking that your way is the right way. That's how she is. Don't get mad at her over it, stupid. Just be glad that God didn't get mad at you over your stuff. This is what you married. It's called a woman. If you wanted to marry a man, you should have been gay. I say sincerely. You married a woman. I married a woman. Stop being so angry all the time. Now, wives, your husband does not have a problem. He is the problem. We get mad at things. That's what we do. We're like the Hulk. That bothered me. I smashed that. You bother me. I smash you. No smash wife? Don't smash wife. Sorry, wife. It ain't like this major ordeal. Don't make a life change. These are all normal things. We're all going through them together. Together. If there's anything else after you've done those things and it don't work, let me know. We'll talk about it. But I guarantee you, dollars to donuts, you will be the first person who comes back and says, you know, Pastor, I tried that prayer, worship, Bible study, church thing. It don't work. Now, what's going to happen is you're not going to do it. And you're not going to be able to do it after that because you waited too long and now there's too much pride involved. And you're just going to break up. Or you're going to live a miserable existence. And I think you'd be better off breaking up. I really do. Because to live a miserable existence, to be hating each other and to not understand each other and not to be getting the best out of each other. Do you know, last thing, and then I'm done. This is the important part. Why is it important to do these things? Why is it important to do more than just get along? Because God has a work for you. And when me and my wife started doing foster care, which led to adopting, the first thing that we had in our hearts was to say, we can't do this. Our house ain't together. How can we bring a kid into this messed up house? Now, please, honestly speaking here, how many of you guys felt the same thing? How many of you guys think the same thing? Thanks for not being honest enough. Thank you. You want to do the work of God. You would love to do foster care. You wouldn't mind adopting. You want to do more for the Lord, but you ain't got your crap together, so you can't. And I'm telling you, if you do this, this will put your stuff together, and you'll be able to serve God. And more than that, you'll realize nobody's got their crap together. Nobody. And if God can be a father to the fatherless, then you can be a mother to the motherless. Or whatever other thing the Lord would call you to do. So many people in here. I'm looking out over you and I know you guys should have your own church. What separates you from having your own church than me? Why can't you preach the word of God? What's the problem? Why can't you go next town and start a church? You don't understand. No, I do understand. You think you ain't got your stuff together. You think you can't because you're fighting with your wife all the time. Your kids aren't in line. And the enemy has just got you tied, twisted, bound under boot. Do it. Can't do it. You do these things. I'll reiterate them again. Start today. I got a better idea. If you can't, come to my office anytime. We'll do it together. I've done this many times. Couples I just don't even know where to get started. Just come sit in my office and we'll do it together. I'll watch. And I'll go, okay, pray. Okay, read her the Bible. Well, we're in church. See, that one was easy. And then I'll press play on the recorder and you could worship God. And I'll go, day one, took 5 minutes. Tomorrow's day two. It's not hard. It's impossible. But with God, let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. You have the words of life. We have no place else to go. God, and I do pray for every marriage that's here that's broken, hurting, thinks they're on their last leg. For every person that's here that doesn't know what kind of man or woman to look for, God. For every kid that's here, God, I pray that this would be burnt in their brain. God, we love you. We thank you so much that your word is true and real. God, and I pray over every couple here that you would burden their heart, that they just would know that they can't get things right until they pray and read and worship and go to church. Thank you, God, that you know that we're all just so messed up. Forgive us, God, for being so embittered toward our wives. Forgive us for trying to lord over them instead of leading over them, God. And for the daughters of God that are here, God, I pray, may the damage that we've done to them not hinder them from becoming all that you want them to be. We thank you, God, and we love you, love you, love you for these things that you've given us and that want to give us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.